The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Camp Abilities, Registration is Closing Soon. From Foundation Fighting Blindness, Early Bird Pricing is closing for their Visions 2022 conference. From the NLPBC, there are new videos from Jack Hartman on YouTube for teaching Braille. From HelenKeller.org, there's a review of the new iPhone SE 3rd generation. Also from Foundation Fighting Blindness, Antabuse may treat retinal conditions. So let's get started. From Camp Abilities, Camp Abilities Eligibility, a week-long educational sports camp for children with visual impairments. Eligibility for coaches. Registration opened January 1st at midnight. Please register by April 15th at midnight. You will know by May 1st if you are chosen to be a coach. Please return all your paperwork by June 1st. Priority will be given to coaches in the following fields: adapted physical education, special education, teachers of the visually impaired, orientation and mobility specialists. Need a recommendation from past or current professor or from a camp specialist. Need to be 15 years old to be a floater. Need to be 18 years old to be a one-on-one counselor. Eligibility for athletes. The following is a list of eligibility criteria for a child to attend Camp Abilities Brockport. Please read carefully before registering your child for Camp Abilities. Children who attend Camp Abilities Brockport must possess the following in order to participate. They must be between the ages of 9 and 19. They must have a visual impairment and must have a vision teacher. They are predominantly independent. Helping with tying shoes, bathing, toileting, or picking clothes is fine. They possess verbal or sign communication skills appropriate within 2 years of their age. They display behaviors that allow them to function in a group setting that does not affect other group members. No biting, kicking, displays of defiant behavior, or running away. They do not possess a medical problem that requires a nurse for constant supervision. We only have 2 nurses, and with over 50 campers, we cannot afford to have a child that requires all of their time. Parents must disclose all necessary information that will allow us to provide a safe environment for the child's week at Camp Abilities Brockport. Athletes will be ineligible and will be sent home if they display the following: runaway or fleeing behaviors, biting, scratching, hitting behaviors, medical needs that require constant nursing supervision or communicable diseases, defiant or conduct disorders, mobility limitations that prohibit them from ambulating a half mile, or inability to participate in sport activities. If you have any questions related to the above criteria, please contact us. If you know that your child is not eligible, please consider other camps. Additional criteria. A doctor must complete a medical form packet. Please make plans accordingly to ensure your child's spot at Camp Abilities. We, the administrative staff at Camp Abilities Brockport, have the power to send your child home if the conditions of camp eligibility are not met. If you are a camper from New York State, please contact your child's consultant from the Commission for the Blind before you register to ensure there is funding available. The cost per camper is $1,000. If funding is not available for your child, the payment is due by June 1st, 2019. Oh, that's an old one. To ensure your child has a spot at Camp Abilities Brockport. There are several links on the website from the homepage. There are links to media, instructional materials, registration, staff, other camps, contact, donate, research registration, blind soccer program, and Lavelle resources for children with moderate and severe disabilities. According to the CampAbilities.org website, Camp Abilities is a week-long educational sports camp for children with visual impairments. Summer 2022 dates are June 26th through July 2nd. We are planning for an in-person camp this coming summer. Our counselors are pooled from physical education and special education undergraduate and graduate programs across the U.S. and overseas. Since our first summer, we have had more than 90 counselors per summer, and we have trained more than 2,000 future teachers in the area of sport and recreation for children with sensory impairments. Many of our specialists are blind themselves and serve as excellent role models for our children, some of whom have never met or socially interacted with another person who is blind. Click on the links for more information or feel free to contact us. Believe you can achieve. From the Foundation Fighting Blindness at fightingblindness.org, registration for Visions 2022 is now open. Visions 2022 early bird discount pricing has been extended. Purchase Visions 2022 tickets by April 15, 2022 to receive the 10% early bird discount with promotional code VISIONS2022. Click on the button below to go to the Visions 2022 registration page. Welcome to Visions 2022, Friday, June 17th through Saturday, June 18th, 2022. Visions 2022, the national conference of the Foundation Fighting Blindness, is a one-of-a-kind event in which individuals who are visually impaired and their families have the opportunity to hear about exciting advancements in blindness research. All attendees can gain practical skills for coping with vision loss, learn about products and services that can improve their lives, and connect with others from across the country. The program is designed specifically for individuals and families who are affected by blinding retinal diseases, such as age-related macular degeneration, retinitis pigmentosa, Usher syndrome, and related conditions. These diseases cause progressive blindness and affect more than 10 million Americans and millions more around the world. More than 500 individuals in the visually impaired community are expected to attend this informative and encouraging conference. Visions 2022 provides the perfect backdrop for organizations offering low vision products, services, and resources to meet with and market their brand to this targeted audience. Location: Disney's Coronado Springs Resort, 1000 West Buena Vista Drive, Lake Buena Vista, Florida, 32836. Accommodations. The Foundation Fighting Blindness has secured a rate of $189 per night, non-tower, single or double occupancy, or $239 per night in the tower, single or double occupancy, at Disney's Coronado Springs Resort for Visions 2022 guests. Please make your reservations by May 26, 2022 to receive this roommate and ensure availability. All reservations should be made, modified, or canceled by you, the conference attendee, by calling the Disney Group Reservations Team at 407-939-4686 and referring to the group and meeting name Foundation Fighting Blindness Visions 2022 Conference. Disney cast members are available Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and Saturday and Sunday, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. All attendees will be responsible for their room, tax, and incidental charges. You may also make hotel reservations online at the hot link. Disney theme park tickets are available through Disney's website directly. Posted on the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children Facebook page, Jessica Hayes shared a link. Good morning. I'm very excited to share a new video by Jack Hartman, H-A-R-T-M-A-N-N. I've been collaborating with him on a video to introduce the Braille alphabet as well as their corresponding Braille word signs. There are very few videos or songs available to our young children with visual impairments learning Braille. Jack Hartman has created thousands of fun songs to help children learn. Now we have a couple of songs to introduce the world to Braille. Now Jack Hartman has created thousands of fun songs to help children learn. This first song introduces the Braille letter, the dots to make the letter, and the corresponding alphabet word sign. I feel it goes at a nice pace to give the students time to really hear the dot numbers and create the dots on a Braille cell or a Braille writer before the next letter is produced. It has a fun beat and a catchy chorus. I hope you all enjoy and pass it along to all your friends and families learning Braille. Another song is coming tomorrow. There's a link to the YouTube videos. Each of the Jack Hartman videos for the Braille alphabet and the Braille alphabetic word signs plays for 6 minutes, 50 seconds. Posted April 1st on FightingBlindness.org by the Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Drug for alcohol abuse may restore vision for people with retinal diseases. The drug holds promise for enabling retinal disease patients to get more vision from remaining photoreceptors. Foundation-funded researchers from the University of California, Berkeley, used Antabuse, a drug approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for alcohol abuse, to restore vision in mice with retinitis pigmentosa, RP. The research team believes the drug may restore vision in people with RP and perhaps other retinal conditions, such as age-related macular degeneration. The investigators are planning a small clinical trial to evaluate the drug's efficacy for retinal disease. Results from the mouse study were published in the journal Science Advances. The researchers observed in mice with RP that the hyperactivity of retinal ganglion cells, RCGs, which increases visual noise, interfered with the transfer of visual information from photoreceptors to the brain. Antabuse reduced the hyperactivity and sensory noise, thereby restoring vision in the affected mice. The hyperactivity is caused by the increased production of retinoic acid in the degenerating retina. Antabuse not only inhibits enzymes that break down alcohol, it inhibits the enzymes that produce retinoic acid. The UC Berkeley team is also exploring other approaches, such as gene therapy, to inhibit retinoic acid production. But Antabuse is attractive because it is available now, FDA-approved, and widely used in humans. The investigators note that while this approach will restore vision, it isn't a cure and won't inhibit retinal degeneration. Rather, it helps patients make the most of their remaining photoreceptors. Perhaps the biggest downside to Antabuse is that it causes significant side effects, headaches, nausea, and muscle cramps when alcohol is consumed. Posted April 4th on HelenKeller.org, an article by Scott Davert, D-A-V-E-R-T, coordinator for the Technology Research and Innovation Center, Helen Keller National Center for Deaf, Blind, Youth, and Adults. When the Old Meets the New, a review of the iPhone SE 3. Introduction. This review was completed after 10 days of using the iPhone SE 3. Most of my comparison will be the iPhone SE 2, since that was the phone I had been using previously. For the sake of clarity, when referring to the previous generation of iPhone SE released in 2020, it will be referred to as the iPhone SE 2. Apple refers to the current model of iPhone SE simply by that name. This was also true of the first and second generation. The iPhone SE 3 is a step forward in some respects, but not in others. The reviews from the mainstream are generally positive, though many people feel the need to comment on the older design. This CNET review details how the new iPhone SE 3 compares to the SE 2 and other devices on the market. I will not spend much time discussing the mainstream features, as other blogs have already done this. I will, however, be discussing how the new iPhone SE 3's functions from the perspective of a blind and deafblind user. It's the same, only not. If you line up an iPhone SE 2, SE 3, and iPhone 8 side by side, it is impossible to tell them apart since the physical profile of each device is nearly identical. The three models are so similar that you can use the same cases for all three phones. I purchased a Mophie juice pack after being very confident in the rumors about the SE 3, and it fits perfectly on the new iPhone, just like it did on the SE 2. As I noted in the linked review, the iPhone SE 3 doesn't have multiple rear cameras like you would find on the flagship iPhone 13 series. It also lacks the LiDAR sensor found on the iPhone 13 Pro. Another missing feature is the U1 chip, which means that if you are an owner of AirTags, you will not be able to take advantage of the precision finding features, which provide useful information when locating an AirTag. The setup. In my review of the iPhone SE 2, I noted that I was unable to transfer data from one device to another unless all other Bluetooth devices connected to my other phone were turned off. When setting up my SE 3, I left my Braille display and hearing aids connected to the iPhone SE 2 and found that the transfer between them and the new iPhone worked flawlessly. This is a major improvement since I did not have to try using speech only through the internal speakers to make the transfer happen. In 2018, the Universal Serial Bus Implements Forum, USBIF, approved a new human interface device, HID, standard for Braille displays. USBIF is a nonprofit organization comprised of many industry-leading companies such as Microsoft, Apple, and Google. Their goal is to advance USB technology to make it more usable. What this means for consumers is that if both the Braille display manufacturer and mainstream technology manufacturer support it, you will be able to start a screen reader, plug a display in via USB, and have access to Braille with no further effort required. It will be unnecessary to find and install drivers, connect via Bluetooth, or change settings before plugging your display into a USB port. In 2020, Humanware announced that its forthcoming collaborative efforts into the Braille display market with APH will also support the standard when it's released. I decided to see if the HID standard would work 2 years after the announcement. Sadly, it did not work during the initial setup, but it did work after the initial configuration. One limitation I found to the USB connection was unresponsiveness from the Braille keyboard after the screen has been locked. This issue can be resolved by either restarting VoiceOver or unplugging the display and then plugging it back in. It may also be worth noting that the Braille display customized commands that have been set up under Bluetooth do not appear to work when connecting to USB. Although Apple indicated to me that they are not officially supporting the standard, I thought it would be a good idea to try it out. Battery life. The SE3, according to Apple, will give the user 1 to 2 more hours of battery life than the SE2. I would say that I get several hours more than I do with my SE2. The SE2 cannot give me enough power to last a full day without a battery case these days, but that could be because my location does not have a reliable cell phone coverage. This was not an issue 2 years ago when I worked at a different location and was testing the iPhone SE2. So I don't feel confident in commenting on how the SE2's battery life was, when new, compared to the SE3. Running 5G certainly offers a speed boost over 4G and doesn't appear to run down the battery any more than when 5G is disabled. That said, I do not stream HD video content, which is where the user would most likely encounter the further battery drain. Streaming audio did not seem to impact battery life, as I consistently had between 15 to 20% battery left at the end of the day. Buying some bugs. This particular section is mostly for users of Braille displays. If you have been holding off on upgrading iOS due to some issues related to Braille devices, the iPhone SE3 or any other new iOS device will be running 15.4 or 15.4.1. The good news about iOS 15.4.1 is that one frustration which has been eliminated. The bug in 15.4 was that quite often when panning through text using a Braille display, the panning command or buttons will not respond, or will respond twice, skipping past content that should be displayed. Some issues remain in iOS 15.4.1. If you enjoy writing emails in the native Mail app, you probably will not on iOS 15.4.1. If you wish to be able to insert line breaks. This is because when editing or composing an email in the Mail app using a Braille display, after inserting a line break, focus will appear to jump to the top of the screen, even though the cursor has not. If that's not enough, the aforementioned bug also appears to trigger another one. When composing a lengthy email with the Apple Mail app using a Braille display, random words will be inserted in the incorrect place, especially after a line break is inserted. The first bug has been around since iOS 15.1, so there is no guarantee a fix will be coming anytime soon. Interestingly, there were also issues with Braille and editing text noted in my SE2 review. So in some ways, this seems as though things may not change anytime soon. Those considering the purchase of any new iOS device may wish to bear this information in mind. The Home button and Touch ID. The SE3 maintains Touch ID and the Home button. The Home button seems to be preferred by a large number of the consumers I work with. In fact, customizing a gesture for going to the home screen on iOS devices without Home buttons is probably the most common thing I support consumers with when we begin training. As such, many have requested the SE2 and now may begin requesting the SE3 for this reason. Although Apple has said that users can now unlock their iOS devices with a face mask in iOS 15.4, several users have reported struggles using this new feature. With Touch ID, there isn't an issue. For my use case, the Home button isn't really a consideration itself. Touch ID is the biggest reason I decided to upgrade to this particular model. As a Braille-only user, there's no point to me taking my phone out of my pocket, since my Braille display is connected through Bluetooth. Touch ID is very fast, since I can just rest a thumb on the Home button to unlock my phone. When comparing Touch ID between the SE2 and SE3, there was no noticeable difference in terms of speed at which the device was unlocked. Recognition. One of the concerns with the SE3 when compared to the other flagship iOS devices is that the lack of a series of cameras will negatively impact the results of OCR. In my testing, where I compared the iPhone 13 mini with the SE2 and SE3, there is little discernible difference between the three models. I used Voice Dream Scanner to obtain these results and performed all testing on the same stand in the same environment with the same lighting. One of the exceptions in my results was in situations where there was less light. The iPhone SE2 and SE3 appeared to have the same number of errors, whereas the 13 I was testing had none. The one area where the SE3 outperforms the SE2 is the speed at which it gets an OCR result. The SE3, not surprisingly, produced faster results. This is likely a difference between the A13 chip on the SE2 and the A15 processor found in the SE3. Currency recognition when using the Cash Reader app seemed equally fast and accurate on all three devices. The SE2, SE3, and 13 were all able to recognize bills in under 2 seconds. These bills were tested under the same environmental conditions mentioned above. Hearing aid performance. I reported my SE2 review that it seemed as though the difference in processors between the iPhone 8 and SE2 allowed the user to have a more stable Bluetooth connection. I was a little disappointed to find that no further improvements between the SE2 and SE3 other than that the lag with Live Listen seems to have decreased. I would estimate about a half second delay between when the person speaks and when their speech comes through the iPhone using the SE2. The SE3 seems to have a delay of about a quarter of a second. Whether using MFI hearing aids or those which simply connect through Bluetooth, the only improvement I noticed was that the Bluetooth connection did not become less stable when I was using, for example, my Braille display to interact with the phone and my hearing aids to listen to audio. Though the Bluetooth connection still becomes choppy from time to time on the SE3, I have noticed that it happens a bit less than on the SE2. I noticed, for example, that I had issues with Bluetooth 3 times in an hour when using the SE2. That went down to 1 time in the next hour when using the SE3. Audio. Although my ears are certainly not the best judge, I am still able to hear sound quality differences when they are dramatic enough, unless I'm comparing the SE2 with the SE3. I had a friend hang on to both the SE2 and SE3 randomly play the same song through one device or the other. My guesses were only correct about 40% of the time. When reversing the exercise, my friend, who says he has normal hearing, also could not tell the difference reliably. If there is an improvement, then it is my conclusion that the differences are very subtle. When testing for any sort of lag with the SE2 and SE3, I noted none when using speech output. Concerning Siri, I noticed that the SE3 is much faster than the SE2, likely because of the 5G connection. Speaking of 5G, the SE3 does not have access to the mm wave band of frequencies. What this means is that the iPhone 13 will likely outperform the SE3 when in cities where 5G has been deployed and works correctly. Locally, there appeared to be no difference between the 13 and SE3. Conclusion. Just like with the flagship products versus older models going back to the original iPhone SE, there are compromises with the SE3. One of those compromises is the price tag. At $429 for the 64GB version, it's the cheapest iPhone on the market. Though there are some things missing from the SE3 which are on the flagship iPhones, like the camera system, Face ID, and a longer battery life, for some individuals it will be a more solid solution. As for me, I was considering returning the SE3 due to the annoying Braille panning issues I did not have to contend with on my SE2, which is still running iOS 15.1. After some bugs were resolved in 15.4.1, I will keep the phone, since the increased speed and longer battery life when compared to the SE2 are welcome changes. The NOPBC just posted an updated fact sheet to their Facebook page. National Organization of Parents of Blind Children. What is the NOPBC? Founded in 1983, the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children is a national membership organization of parents and friends of blind children reaching out to reach each other to give vital support, encouragement, and information. As an affiliate of the National Federation of the Blind, the NOPBC has the unique advantage of being a part of the largest, most active membership organization of the blind in the country. This relationship allows NOPBC members to draw upon the collective knowledge, wisdom, and resources of the real experts on blindness, blind people themselves. The NFB is a rich source of competent blind role models and mentors for blind VI children and their families. Who can join the NOPBC? Parents of blind VI low vision children, relatives, teachers, blind adults, and others interested in creating better opportunities for blind children. What is the mission of the NOPBC? The purpose of the NOPBC is to create a climate of opportunity for blind children in home and society, provide information and support to parents of blind children, facilitate the sharing of experiences and concerns among parents of blind children, develop and expand resources available to parents and their children, help parents of blind children gain understanding and perspective through partnership and contact with blind adults, and function as an integral part of the National Federation of the Blind, NFB, in its ongoing effort to achieve equality and opportunity for all blind persons. What does the NOPBC do? In order to accomplish our mission, the NOPBC has initiated many exciting programs and activities. Among them are the NOPBC website, which contains many resources for all aspects of your child's needs, both now and in the future, including webinar recordings and contact information for local and national NOPBC leaders. 2. Facebook connections, public page and private group, membership questions required. 3. NFB programs, including early childhood, free canes, free braille books, free braille writing tools, braille learning, NFB Bell Academy, distance learning resources, braille reading contest, and STEM programs. Number 4. Seminars, workshops, and webinars. Number 5. IEP information, resources, and advocacy. Number 6. Support networks for parents of blind children with additional disabilities, parents who homeschool, and other families with special needs. Number 7, Future Reflections, quarterly magazine for parents and teachers of blind children. NOPBC membership benefits. Membership in the NOPBC is $15 per year. Free Freedom Scientific software, an annual home license for JAWS, Fusion, or Zoom Text, U.S. only. Exclusive to NOPBC members, this free license is worth $78 to $180, depending on the software chosen. Early access to NOPBC announcements and new resources before they are released to the public. There are new details up at scivis.org for Space Camp for interested visually impaired students in Huntsville, Alabama. That camp is held at the U.S. Space and Rocket Center in Huntsville, Alabama. A week-long camp coordinated by teachers of the visually impaired, accessible. Computers used by students in the Space Camp programs have been adapted for speech and large print output. Materials and equipment used during missions are available in Braille and large print. Participatory. Students participate fully. Each student is screened based on their eye medical condition. Limitations may be placed on some. SCIVIS is actually 5 separate programs: Space Camp, Space Academy, Advanced Academy, Aviation Challenge, Mach 1, 2, and 3, and Robotics. There are more details on the SCIVIS.org website. I've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.